Welcome to a webcast series on human performance interventions brought to you by the University of Missouri. My name is Elliot McClelland, and with me is my co-host John Wedman, Director of the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies here at MU. Our goal in this series is to help equip people with the tools and skills needed so they can get the most out of the people and organizations they work with. Today we're going to talk about job crafting, and our guest is Dr. Michelle French from Mount St. Mary's College. Dr. French has written a chapter on this topic for the Handbook for the Selection and Implementation of Human Performance Interventions entitled The Job Crafting Intervention, Enhancing Emotional Well-Being in Organizations. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Michelle, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got involved with this topic.
Well, thank you for having me today. I got involved in job crafting after doing some of my doctoral work at Pepperdine in organizational leadership, and I wrote my dissertation on how people align their sense of personal meaning in life with the mission of the organization, and what happens when you have that alignment in terms of happiness, job satisfaction, and how executives feel responsible for the happiness of their employees. One of the ways that emotional well-being can be implemented in the workplace is through this idea of changing your job to make it more consistent with your top signature strengths. And so job crafting was a way to get the outcome that we're looking for in terms of emotional well-being through people's work and organizations.
Michelle, this is John Wedman. Could you give us a little more about job crafting, exactly what it is, and maybe give us a concrete example of it?
Okay. Job crafting was actually developed by a couple of researchers, Rosneski and Dutton, and it's the process that people use to make a job their own. More specifically, it's the both physical and cognitive changes that people make in changing the actual tasks that they do within their job and also changing the way they relate to people when doing their job. So, for instance, the way people change their task boundaries is that they change how long it takes to do a job. If you were a file clerk and there was a system that you were taught when you first started the job and then you found a way to file documents much faster, that would be changing your task boundaries. The cognitive boundaries would be changing the way that you see your job. So you could be, for instance, a garbage collector, and now you're an environmental waste engineer. So you change the way that you think about your job. And then finally, the relational boundaries are you have some discretion over who you interact with in doing your job. So, for instance, if you are a hairstylist and there's certain clients that you really don't enjoy working with, then you could just choose not to work with them anymore. And all of those would be examples of job crafting.
Okay, that helps. From your experience, when is job crafting most valuable?
Generally, employees engage in this process of job crafting in a couple of situations. Some people have a need for personal control over their jobs, so they don't want to feel like things are happening to them, but instead that they're sort of have some power over what goes on with their work. Another way that people get involved in job crafting is when they want to create a positive self-image in their work, so it's very important for them to feel good about what they do so that they feel good about themselves. And another reason that employees are motivated to engage in job crafting is if they just want to have a human connection with people, and so changing those relational boundaries becomes important so that they feel like they're connected with their clients and their customers as well as their coworkers.
Okay. So when I'm doing job crafting, really what I'm trying to do is to address that issue, performance improvement, related to the self-concept that the employee has. Is that right? And how they view themselves in relationship to others?
That's part of it. The idea with the job crafting intervention is to work with this process that we know that employees engage in. As we see from the research, all employees have the potential to engage in this process. And so the job crafting intervention then is how managers can direct this process that people engage in towards the performance goals of the organization. So it has three parts, the intervention does. First, assessing employees' strengths, so find out what they're really good at, communicating back to them what you see their strengths as being, but also communicating to them the performance goals, and then helping them recraft their job so that they're consistent with the goals of the organization. What we don't want to happen is to have people make a job their own, but the way that they change the job may or may not be consistent with the performance goals. So the intervention is really helping management to ensure that the changes that employees are making are really consistent with what performance the managers want to see.
Are there some specific types of performance problems that job crafting addresses most effectively?
Sure. It's important to use this job crafting intervention when the performance measures or strategic goals of the organization have been changed. So as a part of the change process, we really want to make sure that the employees are recrafting their jobs in consistent ways with the new goals. Secondly, if managers understand that employees are perceiving that their needs aren't being met in a job as it's designed, if employees are coming to a manager and saying, you know, I'm not really fulfilled, I'm looking for more of a challenge, then the job crafting intervention would be appropriate to help employees change the job so that it's meeting their needs and that they're feeling more motivated to do their job well. And thirdly, it's a good tool to use when people are working in an occupation or a job that is considered stigmatized. For instance, if you know, people are doing a job that maybe they feel is thankless or doesn't have a lot of, it just doesn't seem like it's a job that people might enjoy. I think we can go back to the example of maybe, you know, a French fry cook. Maybe that seems like it's not such an important job, but you still want people to bring all of the motivation and all of the organizational citizenship behaviors to that job. Then job crafting can be a way to recraft the way people see the job, and when they see it differently, then they'll bring all of those extras to the table and really do their best work, even in a job that might not seem very prestigious.
I'm going to switch the conversation for a little bit to the words after the colon in your chapter title, enhancing emotional well-being in organizations. What do you mean by emotional well-being?
Well, when we talk about emotional well-being, I like to use the approach of Martin Seligman, who is one of the leaders in positive psychology. And so when he talks about emotional well-being, he's talking about essentially three parts of what we also call happiness and emotional well-being. The first part is pleasure. Those are things that we enjoy through the senses, like great-tasting food, and also higher pleasures like comfort or fun. Another part of emotional well-being is engagement, also known as flow, a concept developed by Csikszentmihalyi. And flow is the experience where time stands still, where a person feels at home, where they sort of just lose track of what they're doing. And a lot of times when we're talking about emotional well-being at work, flow is the aspect that we're talking about. But the third part of emotional well-being also involves meaning. And meaning happens when people are involved in activities that connect them to something greater than themselves, when they have a cause toward which they can work. And so emotional well-being in the workplace not only includes fun, not only flow, where you sort of just lose track of time and you look back on it and go, wow, that was great, but it also involves a sense of meaning. How can I connect to something larger than me that can make the world a better place?
So when we're talking about emotional well-being, then we're not concerned as much about the performance that's happening so much as we're concerned about the performer and how the performer, what kind of meaning the performer gets from involvement in the job?
Well, that's one aspect of it. The reason why, I guess, emotional well-being is important in the workplace, then, is because when people experience emotional well-being in the workplace, it leads to certain behaviors. They tend to have less turnover, less absenteeism. They also engage in more organizational citizenship behavior. So this is the going beyond the call of duty. For instance, if a store was closing at 6 o'clock and a customer came in at 5:55, a person who engages in organizational citizenship will continue to help them and to give them their best customer service, whereas a person who really didn't like their job, didn't want to be there, if a customer came in at 5:55, they would turn off the lights, tell them we're closed, and close up shop and perhaps forego a sale. So why do we care if people are happy at work? Because people who are happy tend to perform better in terms of certain behaviors. They tend to have better work attitudes. They also tend to be more productive and more efficient.
So how is job crafting going to improve emotional well-being?
Right. Well, The focus on the job crafting intervention is really to look at using employee signature strengths. And so Seligman, who developed this emotional well-being concept, he talks about recrafting work so that you're using your signature strengths. Those are the things that you're the best at. Most people have a lot of different talents and skills and things that they can do pretty well, but there are a few signature strengths, things that we perform at perfectly every time. And if we could somehow harness those activities in our work, then we would have this excellent performance all the time. We also know that when people perform using their signature strengths, they tend to be the most happy. And so if we can get people to make a job their own, but change the job to focus on doing these signature strengths, not only are they going to perform perfectly at those things every time, but they're also going to be more happy, and then the more happy they are, the better attitudes they have and the better performance they give us.
You know, we spend time talking a lot about the impact that teams have in a workplace, and when you think about signature strengths, is signature strengths something that individuals have, or do teams also have signature strengths?
I think there's a focus on individuals with signature strengths, but when you're building teams, when the team members have complementary signature strengths, then that can create a certain synergy that can improve the team performance. And then we also know that usually when people are job crafting, we see improvements in performance, not only for the individuals, but there can be increased performance with their teams as well, an increase in team productivity.
Okay. Earlier you mentioned some of the performance-related outcomes that have been shown to result from job crafting. You mentioned a reduction in turnover rate, increased citizenship, I think is what you called it. Are there some additional performance-related outcomes that we would expect when we're doing job crafting?
Sure. So we're going to, again, look at decreased absenteeism, decreased turnover. When employees are assessed on their quality and efficiency, those levels go up. Team productivity also goes up. And then in some of the workplace attitudes, they tend to have more job satisfaction and more commitment to the job as well.
That looks like a good place for us to wrap up for today. But before we go, Michelle, what advice do you have for those thinking about using job crafting, maybe even for the first time?
Sure. When you're looking at how do we improve the performance of our employees in situations where they feel as though, you know, they don't think that their job gets a lot of attention, when they feel like they're not really sure if they enjoy who they're working with, and when they think that there's a way to improve the way the work is designed, it's a good thing to encourage employees to engage in recrafting those jobs. The job crafting intervention then allows managers to work with employees to recraft those jobs in ways that are consistent with the performance goals of the organization, but also look at how can employees use their most vital strengths. Using their strengths, we know, allows employees to be happier, but it also allows them to do the things that they perform well at all the time. So yes, we want employees to be happy. We also want them to perform well. And when we combine all of those factors, using their top strengths, communicating with them clearly what the organizational goals are, and helping them recraft the work to use strengths and meet the performance goals, then we have the right combination, and the job crafting intervention allows us to do that.
That's great advice. Thanks. Again, I'm Elliot McClelland, and I want to thank my co-host, John Wedman, and my guest, Dr. Michelle Fringe, for their time today. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us, and I invite you to listen to other webcasts brought to you by the School of Information Science and Learning Technologies at the University of Missouri.